your hand out of my pocket! Just kidding. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 48 of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. Yay! I am SVP, joined by...
Taryn Lopez.
The newly married...
Yep.
Taryn Lopez.
Hooray!
Yeah. First of all, let's get that.
Yes.
Let's holler that out.
Yes.
And, of course,
wedding.
Mm-hmm. Not newly married are...
Kirk Johnson.
And still married...
Kirk Johnson.
Mark Abbott.
There you go. All right. So here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Once again... back is the incredible. What are we drinking?
April,
what are we drinking?
Oh,
tonight,
we are
Mr.
drinking Dark Horse.
People will want to know.
Dark Horse wine. We are Double Down, and we are Red Zinfandel.
Yes.
So
that Double Down is full of fucking bodies.
Yeah, it is.
You
like,
wow.
You don't Double Down.
Yeah.
The Zinfandel
is really good.
Body.
It is.
It is. It's got a good flavor to it.
I'm actually
I might be in another state of mind by the end of this show.
What I said earlier, chicken wings and some Zinfandel at the movie theater watching Disney Wars and Black Panther.
Best double feature.
That's double feature. That's your best. That's the double feature. If you have people with you, you got people with you. Honey barbecue wings.
And Zinfandel.
Oh, my
You know
goodness.
What? I'm not even.
Pizza,
Here.
Are you ready?
I'll partake in the
You ready to double down on that pizza?
Okay. So.
Yes.
Let's talk about how we're feeling about Walking Dead.
Who?
Walking Dead. You know.
Instead of saying, Carl, he's just saying, dead.
Yeah, Carl is gone. Carl is gone.
That's some bullshit.
But you know what? I guess... Yeah, no, here's the thing.
Yeah, bring it.
There's something wrong with the children on this show. Because you remember, people were like mad at Carl for years. Carl died, and so we didn't waste time finding some other idiot child to pick up the mantle. And like, oh, Carl is dead? I'm going to pick up this stick.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to release the saviors with a gun I don't know how to use.
Right.
And then I'm going to just chase everybody into the wilderness in the dark.
Right.
There we go.
That's how Carl died?
No,
that's the other
child.
That's the new little...
There's another child that wanted to kill the guy who killed his brother.
And then his last words to his father basically were, make peace, let everybody be happy and be friends.
Holy shit.
Even Negan.
Really?
He wrote a letter to Negan.
Yep.
And Negan, I'm curious to see what happens when Negan gets that letter.
Yeah.
You're right, I'm curious.
I just don't give a shit anymore. I wish I was curious.
No.
I used to be curious.
The kids are like the new black men in Walking Dead.
You get rid
of one, you get a new one coming in soon.
Plus, what happened to Father Gabriel? Is he still around?
Father Gabriel is still around.
Oh, because we have one black guy still around. That's nice.
He's still around. Nice.
And there's one kid.
The thing with Father Gabriel.
There's one kid. That's right, Judith.
Right.
Right, so there's one kid left, so... We got the quota. Right. We got the quota.
Father Gabriel is still around. He's blind.
He's blind now, right?
Really?
He's the blind prophet.
Right.
He's following God. Like, God is leading him.
How do you
Actually,
mind?
I thought he was blind Melagelli, and he wanted his daddy's
markings
back.
Not the zombie infection.
You got to be a certain age to get that.
And he got some weird blood infection, and it infected his eyes, and he went blind slowly.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
Yeah. It was actually a good story arc. I enjoyed that, but I just don't give a shit about the whole Negan thing anymore. I'm just like, you guys gotta make a decision. Stop either, like, let him live or let him die or something.
I think we're going in a direction now. Not for nothing. After I watched Sunday's episode, I'm slowly falling on the side of Negan because I'm at a point now with especially what Rick did to those people in the town when they went looking for those saviors to find the fact that only one man had to die in that scenario,
right?
And they were actually fighting back to back to stay alive, and then out of nowhere you just turn around and start massacring people, and I'm
is
like
that with him and Morgan when they were captured.
And now I'm slowly starting to see you're becoming just as bad as everybody else. Mm-hmm. But I guess because we've been on this roller coaster for so long.
Right.
But Negan, for whatever reason, after Negan explains the whole reason of why he named the bat Lucille.
Yeah.
Right. And the fact that for the first time, he was afraid for his life.
Yeah.
Like I've never seen him afraid.
Right.
But when she wrapped him up,
he was vulnerable
and was dragging him on that cart.
Oh yeah, but
he's like, right. "What the shit?" You know. Right. I'm like, now
now you're human.
And it's almost
he's been humanized.
Now that he's trying to explain why he's done what he did, mm-hmm. I'm like, I get it. And I kind of now understand why you had to be violent in the way you did. But now your own people are turning on you.
Yes.
Which is now making it much more interesting because the dynamic is basically like he rolls back up. First, there's two things. One, I want to know who is in the car with him because it sounded like he had a zombie in the car.
Okay.
It sounded like something. I don't know if when he pulled up, those were the zombies from outside the gate. Mm-hmm. But he had somebody in the car with him. So I'm curious as to who that was that he picked up on the road. Mm-hmm. And the simple fact that when he rolled in there, he was like, don't even tell him I'm here. Because, you know, normally he's bitches.
Right,
you know,
right.
Now it's more like, okay, everybody turning on me. So.
Must be a little under the radar, yeah.
Wow.
So I'm interested to see where that goes. But I'm like you at this point. I'm sort of like I'm just kind of on this crazy train, like I am with Gotham. Like I didn't give up.
No,
I'm pretty
Gotham
much.
Is balls to the wall. You don't know what's going to happen. This thing is just nothing's happening. It's just week after week of just the same stuff.
It's an allegory about war and survival.
Then I need something. I need an arc. There's no arc. I'm in the middle of the arc, and it's really cool up here. But I'm ready for the downbeat.
You only got two more.
Yeah, I hear you on
something.
That.
I just need a change.
I hear you on that. It's like both shows. I feel like they're in throw spaghetti on the wall mode.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like now with the poison ivy thing going to Gotham for a second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, she's full blown poison ivy.
She grown ass woman now?
She's grown ass woman and killing people with plants.
Sci-fi plant, like special effect plants or just like a plant in a pot and you're like, hey, do you want to take a chew out of this? This is good for your...
She is full-on Batman animated series
plants. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I need the cat.
And love potion shit and the
love
whole nine.
I saw.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's like, dude, like, what is this? It's like, Batman is still a kid.
Right.
Batman's
still... And
he's a teenager. He's just starting to explore the whole vigilante thing.
He's a young teen. He's not even
He's like, yeah, he's like 16, 17
right
now.
The Batman has visited him in a vision, which was like,
wait, not a Justice League, Speed Force shit,
like
wasn't that?
Okay.
It's
they get my man from CW.
No. You're gonna be Batman. I gotta go.
Well, that's.
I think we
need that on all of the shows. We need that one dude. Uh-huh. We already got him on Krypton.
Yeah, he was in episode 1.
Which I don't actually, I'm like, not really, you know, everything was cool. And I'm not feeling the Detroit dude.
I didn't like that either.
I like Krypton. I just don't like him.
Yeah, I hear that.
It's like he's like a low-budget Constantine.
Oh shit.
I ain't got shit but nothing but like this shit that sends me back and kills me back. I ain't got no control over it. So here, I gotta take something quick, but I gotta go. Motherfucker. Detroit.
Speaking of that, how did everybody feel about that? Did everybody see that first episode of Krypton?
Yes.
I thought it was refreshing.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm still like, you know what? It reminds me of the setting, the way it's set.
Mm-hmm.
So it reminds me a lot of Farscape.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was thinking Caprica.
and you're thinking Captain. Which, you know what I mean?
It is a sci-fi series. It is a prequel or something, so it kind of is in that vein.
The thing about sci-fi TV shows and movies, depending on the decade.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get that same kind of artistic atmosphere kind of thing going.
Right.
Like, I'll give you an example. Like in the 70s, we have Rollerball, you got Logan's Run, you got a couple other things, right?
Right.
And they all kind of look the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And now you have this thing here with Krypton. And of course, you know, if you start getting reminded of other series and not just of Man of Steel. I want to be reminded of that Man of Steel shit. Like, I'm surprised that they got this shit called the Rankless. Mm. Like, y'all is, I'm always under the impression, within a society, right? You have these changes, but you always have conflicts.
Okay.
Right? What's the Rankless shit? Why is it that, you know, you have this society, and I guess because of the society we live in, we're already geared towards the idea of those who have and those who have not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Yep. Right?
I'm always wondering, what would you have in society that, i.e. Star Trek, where nobody's for want, but you still always have conflicts? Because they'll always be human. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't actually have to have a situation with the Rankless.
No, you don't.
Right? You can have something else that was taken away, or you're still nobility, but you're going to have to serve us, as opposed to...
But the thing is, we already know through other medium what Krypton was already like through little hints and pieces,
I'm a new guy.
They had that kind of stuff.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that in the cartoon. I got my references from Man of Steel.
Gotcha.
And all the other movies that came out where Krypton is just a small thing that you see, and dad's a scientist. You have a council. You don't have a king.
Right.
Right. You have a military caste.
Mm. Yes.
True. So you still have this Rankless.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you still have the caste system.
You have a caste system.
We already knew that was already there in Krypton, so they had to still play with that because it was already in
canon.
I want to say it's referenced and played with quite a bit in the Supergirl series.
It's more referenced in the group. I mean, it's not specifically, but they do bring up the whole ranks of families.
Oh, good.
And they also bring up their religions.
Yes, the religion plays a huge thing.
I did like that. I did love, I like that, the whole idea of Ra and the other guys and the face that...
Yes, that was
cool. That was awesome.
And honestly, if I hadn't been watching Supergirl, I wouldn't have had that point of reference.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was happy to see that.
I mean, I've never been a big Superman comic book person.
Right.
I'm more a Batman guy, you know, so...
I wasn't sure. I didn't want to do a story. I'm glad you confirmed that for me. Yes, you're saying though.
But yeah, so watch that first episode. The thing that stuck out to me, Mama Zod.
Yes.
Yo.
Dude,
I'm with it.
She for real.
Yo.
She ain't playing.
Damn.
Anybody who did not see that first episode of Krypton,
she is
worth it just for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's worth just for that.
The House of Zod is pretty friggin' awesome. I gotta tell you.
I gotta say that, yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of them.
Yes.
Yeah. And we should be seeing one.
I'm sure they were seeing plenty in episode one,
so.
House of Zod. I do like the young, the L. I do like the main character. Mm-hmm.
I do like him. He's cool.
I don't like the art type too much, but I do like him.
Did everybody catch that the name Sig is actually sort of a tribute to...
To whom?
The creator.
The creator. Oh.
And I'm blanking on the name.
That's cool.
Somebody will...
Come on, people. Help us out.
Anybody more knowledgeable?
But yeah, Krypton is...
I think it's going to be... I mean, I'm like you, the Mr. Detroit.
Right.
Yeah.
Needs to... I mean, I...
Like, disappear.
I mean, we've been kind of... We've kind of had this before.
Right.
So I don't think we really need to go into that territory.
Or maybe even for a more of a light and fun as opposed to Booster Gold.
Mm.
You know, because the thing is, you know, the character, Adam Strange...
Yeah.
Has a history within DC of, you know, being... He you know what? I was reading on Wikipedia that Adam Strange is kind of like DC's John Carter.
Okay.
He got sent to a different planet. He got tight with everybody on the planet, fell in love, and all of a sudden he got sent back.
Mm-hmm.
And because he didn't know how to use the beam and wanted to come back, right? And I'm thinking, like, just in terms of kind of like that reverent comedy, maybe, mm-hmm. if you really want to lighten it up,
yeah.
is use Booster Gold. And then add, and literally introduce another DC character. Mm.
I do like the fact that they're using Brainiac.
Yes.
That we're now finally stepping into this other incarnation of Brainiac. Yes.
Well, what is it? But yes. isn't that like the animated series, Superman animated series? Because Brainiac was introduced in a situation where he was the destroyer of Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
In the animated series.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was just as kind of creepy and ominous in that background kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of come across like the mad scientist, like, I just want to collect you.
You know, but this is the first incarnation I've ever seen where he's actually frightening. And, I thought about you because his move is very alien.
It pleased me so much. It made me happy to finally see, because I've been saying for years, like, the thing I hate about Superman movies is that it's always Lex Luthor. Not that I have anything against Lex Luthor. I think that he's an amazing villain. But there are so many other Superman villains.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to see some of the other space people. Brainiac is a huge villain. And I've been saying for years I want to see him and Doomsday, even though they fucked up Doomsday. But I am so happy to see that people finally use Brainiac and him finally on the big screen.
Doomsday is supposed to be showing up in this.
Yes? Oh, you better.
So there's one more cosmic.
And Hawkgirl, which I don't quite understand.
Thanagarians and
Thanagarians too?
Yeah, in the comic book, in the animated series.
Yeah.
And I think in the comic book, there's a war with Thanagar and Rand.
Yes.
Rand is the place that Adam Strange got the beam thing going. That's the planet. And I guess that's the connection with Thanagar and Rand.
That's cool.
And
before we get too far, I love Lobo.
I would love if just Lobo.
Oh my god! I've been dying.
I didn't hear anything about
Lobo.
I would
be so happy if we see Lobo.
It's the Jason moment. Your dad missed that. You should have been Lobo.
I'm okay with that. Give someone else a check.
Yes, right. Yeah, absolutely. Before we get too far in,
yes,
we actually have a message from friend to the show, Joe Siglio. Hey, Joe. So he brought up, going back to The Walking Dead, he says, could it be this, talking about who's in the car?
Oh, okay. Oh.
His theory is, could it be the savior that attempted to kill Dwight during the ambush scene?
Maybe.
Possibly.
I like that.
Mark, what do you think?
You know what? That's a possibility.
Well, how integral of a part was his character to, I mean... You know, as a watcher, was he engaging and interesting enough that you want to see more of him? And the writers would be like, you know what?
I could see. Here's the thing: is that what we do know is that Morgan is going to Walking Dead show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to try to fit somebody in on the Savior side to kind of enrich that story more with him. Leaving.
Yeah.
I still don't know how Morgan.
Or another black guy?
He's not completely leaving, though.
No.
He's not for fear of The Walking Dead.
Right, but he's still going to be in Walking Dead occasionally. He's not completely leaving.
No. He'll be.
Fear of Walking Dead is a prequel.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So the character of Morgan is still alive. He's just going to show up in the past as well, because we know he's in the past.
He was crazy with his son.
Remember? His son got bitten by a zombie.
So it's like a scene, like an episode.
We're going to see how Morgan was normal and then he went insane. Right.
But here's
died.
The thing. From the trailer, he's still dressed in the gear that he's in now.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's the Morgan...
Like they pass a couple of years,
because
aren't they in
that could be a trip
Mexico
a
or someplace?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that means that Morgan would have had to left Atlanta.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe during the time he's been disappearing.
Exactly.
Maybe we will find out.
He was gone for like there were two seasons. I think he showed up in season one, then two and three he was not around. Then he shows up again. I think in season four.
Mm-hmm.
So in those two seasons he could have been just wandering around New Mexico.
That's true.
I don't know.
You know, I wouldn't stay in Atlanta.
Is that right?
I'm just saying.
Your whole family
saying,
got massacred. Why am I going to stay around?
Y'all is all dead, and you know, I've lived here, so with y'all motherfuckers here, I can just travel.
Nothing left.
I ain't got to worry about traffic.
Damn.
I could take that trip to Cancun.
I always was.
What Cancun look like right now?
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I'm saying?
It's Detroit full of Mexican zombies is what it looks like.
You know what? There's maybe a different flavor. Different taste, you know. Maybe they move a little slower. Maybe they take siestas.
Now we're going into like iZombie territory. iZombie, it's like, right. Oh, this person tastes of this.
This is so awesome. They all sleep in the afternoon. We only get herds like in the late evening.
Siesta zombie. Joe jumped back in and said it's Morgan from the present because he mentions the big battle in the east.
Okay.
Fear of the Walking Dead will be taking place after the current
Walking Dead.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe has a...
Wow.
Now I might actually start watching it again.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, that's... I like that.
Yeah, because Fear of the Walking Dead, they kind of lost me.
I think I was just warm on it.
And,
watching it.
You know, I'm like flipping channels, and it's kind of like, I think I told you guys before, it's kind of like running into an ex, and you're like, oh, hey. How you doing?
That sucks.
I'm okay. Just have some wine.
Mr. Conway Twitty.
Right.
Hey, darling. Nice to see you. Been a long time.
God of awkward moments.
And anyway, Joe says you're welcome.
Thank you. Yes.
So, I was going to segue into...
DC?
With the Batman.
Okay.
Here's what... This is what's bugging me now. It just seems that... I actually think that where the mistake with this show was that
Gotham?
Yes,
mm-hmm. Okay.
With Gotham is that Bruce Wayne has become too much of an integral character.
Okay,
I think they should have spent more time dealing with the gangsters and that element
and Gordon's dynamic
because the thing is what's happening now. It almost feels like the show creators are trying to put all the Batman elements into this. This is one of the issues I had with Gotham by Gaslight.
Mm-hmm.
When they released Gotham by Gaslight on DVD, the original graphic novel dealt with Batman battling Jack the Ripper. What they did with the animated, because the graphic novel is great. Gordon is in it for a brief hot second. Mm. There's a photo of a guy that looks like the Joker. Okay. But we divorce ourselves from anything that you know of the Batman universe. With the animated series, what they did was they threw Harvey Dent in there. They threw Poison Ivy in there. They threw Catwoman in there. And I'm like, don't you trust us enough to enjoy a story arc that does not include every familiar Batman face in here. And I'm beginning to feel that that's what they're doing with Gotham. Because even when they did the whole sequence with him seeing the Bat,
yeah.
I'm like, why are you so pressed to show the Bat? Just, we know eventually this will come to pass.
Right. Yeah.
But it almost seems like because... And I guess this is what, like, with any... I said the same thing that happened with Lost.
Yeah.
When the children start sprouting up, now we're in a rush to figure out what to do with them. Because now, you know...
I think they just jump into a hole at this point.
Yeah, because I think that's what happened with Poison Ivy. I think the girl started to get taller or started to go in there like, oh, crap. You know, so we're going to have to,
They just decided to change her up.
Because basically now she's like a grown woman with an 8-year-old brain.
Yeah.
Wow.
With a child's mind. And
which
it's like,
I have entire problems.
She's also, she's also super lethal.
That sounds problematic.
Like, that's that is like a weird, like, sexualized fantasy of
No.
With the mind of a child, so she doesn't know better.
She doesn't know better.
But
no,
she's
that's why,
sexual.
And that's
she's
why,
use it against
that's
like,
why, that's why,
yeah,
when she came out of the plant and those guys were in there, and the guy made that comment to her, and she just sort of like, I mean, in her mind, I guess it's like it's a nasty comment.
Right.
I don't understand it, but it doesn't sound right.
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 But. You know, I have issues with us trying to rush characters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it was a perfect idea to do Penguin because
Penguin they
really
did so well. Penguin, and I would say Riddler.
What I like about using those two is that they're supposed to be older than Batman.
Yes.
Okay.
It
right.
It makes sense.
Yes. It makes sense for them to be older. It doesn't make sense for Harvey Dent to be older.
Nope.
Because
he should be a teenager.
Originally, they're supposed to be right.
They're supposed
to be friends.
Yeah. The contemporaries.
Harvey Dent.
And Batman.
You're right. Yeah,
they're good friends. Because
Harvey Dent was like the young gun
maybe
coming
he'd be
out.
Like three, 4 years older, maybe.
Yeah.
If you
the depiction, the depiction in Dark Knight,
yeah,
is more accurate to the original canon than I want to say what they're doing right now.
In which case, Harvey.
But Poison Ivy is supposed to be around his age.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She's contemporary with Catwoman, with Batman.
Right.
They're all the same age.
Right.
So now she's gonna be like, I don't know. 50 when he's like 30 or some shit.
Right.
Know. Is she even going to age at this point? Is she like immortal
but
now?
But then that's another thought.
So, do you see Krypton falling to the same kind of trap in terms of?
I hope not.
I mean, it's still too early.
You only have like two episodes.
It's got a clear like trajectory. Like it has to lead to the destruction of Krypton.
Of Krypton.
So
yeah.
we know where we're headed with that.
Right.
So it's going to be steamrolling towards that. When Gotham is kind of like balls to the wall until he ages up 10 years.
Right.
Because I think Krypton is in a safe place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think it was a smart idea not to go with Jor-El.
And to
go
with
one
grand
generation
grand,
back,
right. Great
so that we
be
kind
too much
of
the reminiscence
because
of
now we because now we'll get the understanding of how Jor-El got his
mindset,
his understanding. Right? Yeah, they set up in like the first second episode where we're part of I don't want to say cabal, but a group that understand that there's something wrong going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's other life, which is I thought was actually very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was very interesting that, the society of Krypton, and they're so advanced, they're not, I don't want to say so advanced,
right.
But they're advanced to a point where they're still just in their own thing.
They're still insular.
They're insular, right. They still don't realize that there's life on other worlds.
You can be so advanced, but still so close-minded.
And I find that
time.
So interesting because, in Man of Steel, they talked about colonization.
Right.
Mm.
So is it a situation where you'll have the grandfather exposing the idea of life on other planets, and or with the help of Brainiac exposing that, and Krypton, the council now saying
that's when it decides
we should colonize
expand.
Other places just to survive,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And things just not playing out the way they were hoping.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I would think that is going to come into play because I'll take a step back to the original Superman movie.
Yeah,
when Jor-El is putting Kal-El into the ship.
Yeah.
And his wife says, why Earth? There's so many years. They're primitive. There's so many years behind us.
Right.
And he says he'll need that advantage to survive.
Right.
So at some point, the Kryptonians knew, it is kind of fucked up. It's like, where's the one place we know he'll... I mean, I guess we didn't think about that red sun, did we?
That sounds literally like...
that was the... That we didn't think about the yellow sun thing.
It literally sounds like the Berlin Conference.
The world was exploding. They didn't have a lot of time to think about this shit, okay?
It sounds like the Berlin Conference. those natives are so far primitive. You should just go over there and...
We're just gonna help them. We're gonna send our kids to go help them.
Yeah, we'll send our kids with guns.
It's basically how like the Saiyans do in Dragon Ball.
Right. Yeah.
Send their baby to apply. Like, oh, they're gonna just take care of those people.
Yeah, exactly.
Colonize.
Right. My baby got a tail. He gonna take over that planet.
You tell him Tamat Lato sent you.
Kakakak, son of Kakarat.
Which interesting enough, I need to make a mention of this. April 30th.
Yes.
For whatever reason,
uh-huh.
Somebody thought this was a good idea to have James Cameron have his own show on AMC where he's going to be talking about the history of science fiction.
Hmm.
So he's going to be interviewing Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
George Lucas.
On film. So just science fiction on film.
Yes.
Will Smith too, right?
On film. Zoe Saldana. The bane of her existence, Ridley Scott.
Oh, shit.
I actually want to watch that show with you, with Ridley Scott. Because I want to see that. Because her sitting
there
and I.
That
old man.
But that's the thing. It hurts me so much because I love him.
Yes,
him.
I know.
I grew up loving him, so I don't want to feel that way. What just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Tragedy just happened.
Was your drink back there?
Glass, yes.
Was your drink back there? Was it empty?
No.
No, it was not.
It's a mess. I'll have to clean it up later.
Okay.
Yeah, before the cat gets to it.
Hopefully the cat doesn't get the broken tooth. We're in the middle of the show. Get through the show. Get through the show.
So yeah, she probably gonna look like Ronda Rousey watching some shit off.
Very likely.
So wait, so real quick, so it's just sci-fi and filmic in
I think in film,
not in literature, because literature.
He's not gonna talk literature.
I mean, a lot of film.
No, I know. I mean, I'm sure it'll come into play because he is going to talk to Arnold Schwarzenegger too. So I don't know if.
Thank you. We had the same question. What?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, if you think about science fiction, Predator, Terminator, you know,
Denzel Washington should be the next one. Then
Denzel will probably
be in that mix
at some point. You know,
I'm just saying. I still find it interesting.
I'm just throwing that out.
It'll be like a Charlie Rose, but for sci-fi geeks.
I'm okay.
Minus the other part. Big up to Charlie Rose.
Which channel?
AMC. April 30th.
Okay. Sounds good.
Speaking of AMC.
Uh-huh.
So, you suggested that we check out The Terror.
Mm-hmm.
Which turned out to be...
I'm glad I did not check out The Terror.
It turned out to be...
terrible.
It's cool!
White guys going where they have no business going.
Wait, are they... Like, they're explorers, correct? Or?
Now...
Argonauts. Somebody actually used the word Argonauts.
Here's the thing. The Terror is actually supposedly based on a true... Like I've read the history of this particular expedition, where they don't know what happened to these men.
They found
the ship, and then they found the men like 30 feet away.
Wait, is this the show that's actually produced by Ridley Scott?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that had already begun. Yeah. I didn't recognize that. Okay. I was actually interested in that.
And it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, it is a miniseries, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The third episode, the crew is attacked by something, and the viciousness of the attack is extremely. If you haven't seen it, that's going to catch you completely off guard because I wasn't expecting it to happen the way it happened. And it's just suddenly one of those things like you know that everybody's sitting around talking and then all of a sudden boom,
like a Michael Mann movie.
Yeah.
Like an old Michael Mann movie.
So.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it.
It is. I still remember Thief. Yeah. Oh, shit, he's shooting people. Wait, it's almost over? Damn, James. That was supposed to be an opus. Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Pacing. Who needs pacing?
I'm gonna hang in there with it.
Okay.
I'm gonna, you know.
Is the atmosphere at least conducive to like a creepy kind of like?
Yes.
Like you're wondering like what's
it's
going
a,
on?
I feel like it's a good show.
Let's put it this way: if they did a version of The Thing, as a television series where they left the base camp and went exploring and got attacked. Buy the thing on their way.
Yeah.
It would be. I would liken it to that. I don't think it would be as slow, but because of the period and how they're trying to tell this story, because I think they're trying to put as much fact as well as fiction into it.
Yeah, kind of like
so it gets to be. It's. Did you ever see Master and Commander? No. She laughs because I know she doesn't like what's his name.
Chris Hemsworth?
No. The man who should never have sang.
Russell Crowe.
There it is.
I don't like him in that one movie.
So,
wait, what movie do you not like him in?
Les Miserables.
Oh, well, that's perfectly valid.
Less
fucking valid.
Less Miserables?
But
yeah. Yeah, he was the miserable.
Less Miserables.
Right. The sequel.
The snack, that's a little off, too.
Russell Crowe is the miserable.
but it's like
from what I hear.
It's like that what? That film like and when they're not at sea having the battle,
right.
It's sort of that.
Do you feel And I'm because I remember True Detective first season.
Oh yeah.
Do you feel it should you? Do you always hope? Do you now watch certain movies like that and you hope it's like first like True Detective in terms of atmosphere, in terms of and in terms of, and I don't mean in terms of what it was about, but in terms of just allowing each episode have kind of like a moment where. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
First season True Detective. So the big difference between, if we're comparing these two shows.
Yeah.
First difference between True Detective first season.
Yes.
And the terror.
Yes.
Is they, True Detective, did a great job of setting atmosphere.
Yeah. He did an awesome.
And a lot of this, and see the part of it also is, I'm sure... other people watch this and, you know, because of the historical side of things and because they're not necessarily expecting it to be more scary than it currently is or any of that other stuff, they're appreciating the whole, you know, let's get out there and discover shit, you know, aspect of things.
On the glacier.
And me, I'm kind of like watching it and I'm kind of like Shuri. I'm like, well, here's some colonizers. Right. And I mean, and there's one the one scene with them bragging about killing Chinese people, at dinner, like we're sitting up here passing out about movies. They're like, gosh,
that's how was your day?
We went out and we shot some yellow people, and now we're going to have some lovely mutton.
Oh no!
You know, it's like, son, I'm supposed to feel some sort of empathy for these motherfuckers,
right?
And then then there's the whole British versus Irish. Aspect of the show,
right.
And it's like, okay, so so you do have a racist thing happening to kind of keep it current, so because obviously you can't have any brothers like roll up in it,
right.
Brothers wouldn't be there, well, first of all.
Well, remember that one
brothers
black guy
trying
who,
to be there,
that one guy, the black guy who reached what, the North Pole or the South Pole, Henderson, Hendrickson,
right?
The one black guy was like, you know what, I'm gonna do shit differently, I'm gonna vote for Trump, and I'm gonna discover the coldest place on earth. You gotta have them. They're there. Right, squad goals. With just one person. I know,
right? Can you see that cat? Like, he gets back and he's like doing the jailhouse pose with Omarosa and Ben Carson. They're like,
yeah, I can. Yep.
That's right.
And the one black dude who fucking like founded Chicago was like, this nigga, you should have stayed. You found your ass a river. You should have found your ass a river and built a trading post. You know what I mean? That's a smart move. So we should put this on a list of movie topics that really probably have made their swan song.
Okay.
Anything expeditions set in cold motherfucking places like glaciers, right?
Okay.
Jungle cannibalism. Any movies that take place where jungle cannibalism involved and motherfuckers is exploring shit, yeah, we can do without that, right? Mm-hmm. We can do, though, with tourists in the jungle going, wow, this is a great pyramid. I've read about this on Wikipedia. Yes. Henceforth, that movie, I guess it's called...
The Ruins.
Right. Yeah. Or Splunkers. We like caves. Cave adventures are cool.
Yes.
Right?
Even like caves as well.
Caves are... Right.
I want to say those movies experience a little bit of a resurgence because The Descent was so good.
Yes. Totally because of that.
Yeah. Right. And they play with the atmosphere and the environment
and, like,
of the space that they're in, right?
Of the space itself. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, the only way you can... I remember watching this movie called Ravenous.
Yes.
Wow.
Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
Right? Great.
The original.
Right, great. So, but you can't, you know, and if you can transplant that kind of feeling and atmosphere and mythology into an idea of motherfuckers exploring really cold, forbidden places, i.e. the thing. And they're not even exploring. They're just like...
Right, they're just surviving.
No, these niggas forgot us.
But the interesting thing...
They forgot we was here.
Here's the interesting thing about the terror. From what I'm understanding, this is a second expedition. One of them has already been through there before. And the argument really was, we shouldn't go this way, because if we do and we get trapped in the ice, it'll be months before we could get out.
That was definitely
and it's really that whole era of British, like,
right.
I was with you when that happened.
Right.
and that's not how it went down, and so we're going to do it my way anyway. And the other guy, like,
right.
Like
the element of it.
See, yeah. What part of that trip don't you remember? Kind
you
of
know
thing.
What, you know what, Mark? And thank you. This, you know what, to clarify, the whole idea of the snow and glaciers and mountains, the action isn't really understandable in terms of, like, this is an exciting thing.
Yeah.
Right? You're trudging through the snow. You're trudging over ice. It's not like a heart-pounding, exciting moment, right, as opposed to somebody climbing a mountain or diving into a cave.
That's quite a miserable moment.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like a misery. It doesn't feel like there's nothing to really to get the adrenaline pumping or the entertainment value, really, of just trudging through snow. Like climbing the side of a mountain on a cliff, you can play with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Going through the forest and up forest path, you can play with that.
Right.
Splunking, you can play with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rolling through fucking Brooklyn at 3 a.m. in the morning and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You can play with that.
Well, yeah.
Trudging through snow in Brooklyn at 3 a.m. in the morning, you can play with that shit.
You can play with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just trudging through snow and there's nothing around. Yeah.
Well, it depends.
It's like
East New York?
Well.
Well, you are saying
East New York. Oh, we say, okay. I'm going to say East New York.
It's like trudging through the sand. It's a desert. It's the sand.
Although.
I've done 2 a.m. In Brooklyn Heights, and I got to tell you, not so scary anymore.
You know, I did that when I was 18.
Yeah.
It
probably wasn't scary then.
I really had to change my pants when I got home.
But think of it this way, because of how it's designed. The scene,
I'm gonna watch
Game of Thrones.
Okay.
When they went looking for the White Walkers.
Yes.
And they end up in that situation.
You mean the episode where they go up there and
with the bears.
Okay.
Right. With the,
like
right.
when it bear. Got to that point where you're just like, what the hell is
but,
that?
But we spent literally four seasons, six, eight.
I mean, but
shit
happened along the way.
Right.
It wasn't like they were walking.
I agree.
You know.
Right.
But even within those seasons, even when Jon Snow got captured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they just walked. They kept that shit short.
Right? They cut that shit.
They had to keep that shit short.
Well, we got other places to go.
And I'm just asking, is the idea of a terror, before they start going through the snow, do they set up a situation where there's an ominous thing about
it,
them?
There's
something
about
that is around them.
Something's chasing them or something.
Apparently.
A feeling. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Apparently the way the whole thing starts off is with them talking to the Native Americans who live there.
Yeah.
And they basically came looking for, because the Terror is, it's a double entendre, because the Terror is also the name of the ship.
Oh, okay.
One of the two ships is named the Terror.
That's very
and
cool.
And then, and the whole thing is that I'm under the understanding that they came looking
layers.
For.
I'm sorry. The layers! I'm sorry, Marcus.
He's trying to make a serious point over here.
Onions got laid. Parfait got laid. You ain't never heard nobody say, "Hell no, I don't like no parfait."
Russian egg chicks got layers.
Get your hand out my pocket.
I'm
sorry, but you're the Mark.
No, but I don't even forgot my damn thing.
But they try to build with the Native Americans.
Yeah, they started off with that. We came to look for these guys. Do you know what happened to them? Kind of thing,
right?
And then
check it out.
And then Native Americans. Or Eskimo, as they
Eskimo.
Like
to say. Do you think it's still worth
they kind
of
say
out.
Eskimo?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. I don't think it's an immediate thing that you...
I
actually think, and I may end up doing this, I think it's a binge watch.
That's what I was thinking. Like,
I think having to wait every week to watch
yeah.
watch it.
Okay.
How many episodes are out so far? Like
three.
Okay.
I haven't seen the third one.
Okay.
So the third one... For all I know, could be the scariest thing since.
Yeah.
I mean, I've sat through Penny Dreadfuls for so long.
Yeah.
Oh my God, thank you.
But,
thank you.
But in defense of Penny Dreadful.
Oh no, the Penny Dreadfuls, it was there.
You were with
there.
They were like, oh.
But there was lulls in the middle of it. They
mm-hmm.
was like,
right.
Where is this leading? And then it leads somewhere. Like, oh, thank you.
That's when it became,
right.
That's when it became a Charles Dickens
yes.
Story.
Yes. Yeah.
But
you slept with my dad slept with your
it's
mother
a
and,
lot of that
and
I mean
you
and
nasty.
I'm all good for
you're right.
Right.
I'm all good for a little freaky dinky
right, right,
but
right.
Penny Dreadful they were
right.
going in son.
I have to
that
say Penny Dreadful of all the episodes there was one thing like, every series has that one standout episode
yeah
mm-hmm.
the one
mm-hmm.
where they do the history of the woman who's the The
witch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably one of the best. Yes. Like, they could have ended the series there, and I'd have been like, wow, that
you
was...
You won.
Right.
You but, won.
Right.
Yeah. But,
you fucked up on Dracula before Frankie Ford Coppola. You could have just done this shit.
How about that? How about
I'll call it. I'll say it.
And, you know, the funny thing is, when he first popped up in the show, I'm like, that's fucking Dracula.
Right.
You knew?
Mm-hmm. I knew.
Oh,
but he was so nice.
But okay. No, don't.
Was, I didn't suspect. And,
I feel and, like this. And, like, he is such
a sweetie.
Sweet man.
He was a sweetie, yeah.
But that
I totally
it.
Got something. No, you're right. I totally
that
got something.
Guys, let's try to remember. That's the main thing right. about being sexy, sexy vampire.
Totally would have
But been. Nobody knows that.
Is,
right, his sweetness.
Is,
but nobody knows
be
that.
Nice.
He's always in every Dracula thing. He's always he's that sexy dude. He's like sexy. He's like
or
he's
not,
that, the Philadelphia
if
cut.
He's not. He's still like
right.
But this is like a nice guy. This is like
the Philadelphia cut.
This is like a nice guy. This is like hey, you want to maybe get.
But
some
that's
coffee?
The thing. Like he's soft spoken. Yeah. He's not like trying to be grandiose. Like you always see Dracula, even if he's like supposed to be sexy or whatever, he always looks like he's like. I don't know, he carries himself like he's a noble.
Well, yes, he commands the room.
Right.
Did
he commands
not,
the room.
He
exactly.
commands
right.
the room.
And this dude did not. This dude did not try to command the room. He couldn't want to.
And that's why it made more sense.
There it is. There it is.
But that's why it made more sense.
Penny Dreadful rewrote sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Penny Dreadful rewrote sexy.
But that's why I enjoyed the reveal, because it wasn't the quintessential,
yes.
like, I am Dracula. It was like, oh shit, you're this little nebbish dude, and you're Dracula. Okay.
Hold on.
I'm down with that. All right.
I have a tusk.
He was nebbish until he started throwing it down.
Yep. Wait. Yep. And then
it
changed.
Was like,
hold on, I have a tusk from a 12-year-old elephant, a pachyderm africanus. Would you like to check that out?
And meanwhile, meanwhile, somebody who's thinking would have been like,
right.
Where the fuck you get that from?
Right.
Like that was
just like,
that was a Dracula.
No,
that was a Dracula. Like, listen, I got a couple of things I need to do today. I need to pick up the paper. Oh, by the way, I'm Dracula.
Right.
I'm sorry. What did you just
say?
What did you just say? I got to pick up the paper.
Wait.
No, after that. So,
oh shit. Dracula.
What did you just say? I'm picking up the paper.
Dracula.
No, after that. Oh, I'm Dracula.
Dracula's a new nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I have a prostate. I have a prostate to go check out. I'll see you later for dinner.
Sweet. Oh, I thought you said you wanted to be.
Get myself a plate.
Speaking of Negroes.
Yes. Are we going to?
Black Panther. Not Black Panther.
Black
Lightning.
Black Lightning.
Black Lightning back.
Thunder.
I'm trying to make you a man. That was hilarious. But
he's like, yo, Thunder.
That shit was hilarious. That shit was hilarious. I was like, you know, and it kept it real.
Yeah,
you know
that, somebody would have put that up.
Right, in their car like this. Thunder can thunder me all
day
long.
Oh, son. Because that made me think
Snoop
of...
Snoop would have dropped her album.
Yeah.
That made me think of... that immediately made me think of Mike Epps in
Hancock.
Oh.
Hand job. It's like, I'm like, damn, come on, man.
You're so right. Oh, man. Black Lightning. Yeah.
I binge watched the past month.
Okay.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
the other day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I have to say,
I got one that can't break.
They are executing this beautifully.
Yes.
I love the fact that the younger daughter
mm-hmm.
is upset over the fact
I was thinking the same thing.
Powers.
Yeah.
That is not that.
And beautifully, they set her up from the early episode, to how she's going to react to this
deal
of
She's
powers.
Had a really
mm-hmm.
nice arc.
She did.
Yeah.
And
she has a
developing
arc, a great
developing arc, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And I do love the fact that they threw that Asa shit up in there about them putting that vaccine in the neighborhood to make black folk docile.
Dude.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, that is, because that's a thing from the 60s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That
was
is But I mean, we had for years had been, we had talked about within the black community about how crack
mm-hmm.
and AIDS were pushed
right.
into our community
yep.
to keep us under control.
Even
mm-hmm.
before,
and
when they did the test on syphilis.
Yes, in the Tuskegee
and just
experiment.
Whole groups of young black people. Yeah.
And that was so...
And the fact that it didn't go the way they thought, and it's like
it gave them superpowers. It gave them
superpowers, right. And it's all like now we need to round these fools up.
Well,
because all I kept thinking, all I kept thinking of, did you ever see Wall-E?
Yep.
The movie Wall-E. Mm-hmm.
Wall-E.
The scene where they had all the robots that went crazy in that in that hospital.
Oh, okay.
And yep. he lets them all loose. And then there's that one that does the massage thing, and grabs the robot and is like,
oh my god,
and it takes off. And I'm like, because that's what I thought when the other night when I thought she was going to break them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Thunder was like, I came this close from breaking the machine to let them out. I'm like, please don't, because you're going to have all it. No, mm-hmm. I get you one better. Mm. The cabin in the woods.
Oh, shit.
When they unleashed all those creatures.
All those.
And everything. Right, right.
And everything just.
Right.
But yeah.
But no, and you're right. That whole making black folks docile thing, that narrative, first of all, I love Black Lightning for the simple fact that obviously there's black people in charge of the writing.
Yes, 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 yes.
Obviously, we are in there. So mm-hmm. that's a beautiful thing. Now, and it's funny because when I heard that, mentally, I flashed back to when I was on a podcast with some melanin-challenged friends of mine, who I love dearly.
Melanin.
But, right. And we were actually, it was kind of like, nerd shit talk, And we were talking about Captain America.
Okay.
And so the conversation went to all of them, like, going into this whole, black Captain America would be great, and da-da-da-da, and exciting, and it's on and on and on. And finally, I'm like, fellas, I love y'all for this. But let's try to remember the country's history a little bit. Cap came together in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
The only way somebody's given a black man super serum in the 1940s is if somebody else accidentally switched it with the syphilis.
So actually make a wonderful origin story. Actually.
How about that?
So you've never read that comic?
Red, White, and Blue.
Red, White, and Blue? You've never seen
it? Right.
I never read that comic.
Oh. Yes.
I never read it, but I knew somebody mentioned that to me.
So they gave it to like four black men to test the serum because they weren't sure it was real or not. All of them died except for one dude. And he decided to take the shield.
Okay, don't tell me anymore.
Okay.
Yep. I gotta read this. Don't spoil it for me now.
It is crazy sad. It's crazy sad.
It is.
Don't spoil it.
All right. It ain't like the terror.
Let me have this one.
Niggas ain't in the snow.
Well, the terror could get sad
if
you actually end up caring about the characters.
The only way, the terror would get sad if they find out that they're keeping like Chinese women underneath the ship. Because they fucked up. Because they're colonists.
They are.
Yeah, they see?
Speaking of Game of Thrones.
I didn't mean to get all heavy on that. Mance Rayder. I didn't mean to get heavy like that. Was heavy.
He's the captain.
My bad.
Yes. Yes.
Mance Rayder. Remember Mance Rayder
from
Game of Thrones?
He's the main dude.
Syrian. I know the name too.
Rome.
Oh, Rome had some Caesar.
Caesar.
He's a great actor.
That's like talking about old school British dudes.
Yeah. Right. And then somebody brought up why Krypton got all these British actors. It's because when they learn how to act, they actually do that shit on stage.
Nice.
They learn how to do that shit on stage.
My man Mike Williams he brought up the whole that. Yeah, that the Red, White, and Blue would be amazing if Marvel had the guts.
Here's the thing. There was an episode. Now somebody's gonna have to answer for this shit with the resurrection.
Wait, what are we talking about now?
Black Panther. I keep saying Black Panther.
Yes.
The brother that didn't come back from the dead.
Oh, yes. and the spiritual and the
test.
First of all, the comedy behind that is he's in the limo having a conversation.
Yep.
And they're all and he's like, and
what
he
do you do?
No, but when he's like, You want me to kill him? He driving the car. I can't kill him. While and the dude is like,
okay, I'm not gonna say shit.
That's and I'm wondering. That's like his superpower didn't kick in so until now, after he died.
I'm wondering if what's it, Lady Eve?
Yeah,
is gonna come back.
That's what I'm thinking too.
I
mean, she was such a strong character.
Yeah, for the short time, yeah, she was menacing as fuck.
She's got to come back.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I've met Jill Scott. Jill Scott is the sweetest woman in the world.
Until she got them twins standing next to her.
Right? But when she popped up,
pretty niggas
being all villainous and whatever, I was like Eddie Murphy and Boomerang for a minute. I was like,
where? With that body on the table, and you see the body blinking, it's still alive. It's like,
kind of crazy.
Like, God. And see, that was the funny thing. I'm glad somebody answered on the show what was going through my head. Because when they show Black Lightning as a kid, I'm like, so what y'all saying? Tobias ain't age a day? And then he was like, I saw Tobias. He didn't look like he aged a day. Okay, as long as y'all addressing that. For a minute there, I'm like, this dude looks the same when you were five. It's either that or...
Well, y'all know Black don't crack.
Right.
He don't think he black. You know, well, now his sister dead.
But the beauty, and you know, you brought up something. The beautiful thing about Black Lightning is they're addressing these questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they were thinking if he was going to have, like, they addressed the question, how come he has a mask on? How come nobody recognizes it's the principal? And they brought that up in the second, third episode.
Wait, I'm
right?
Sorry, what was the answer to that? Because I missed that.
It was, that the light
is
too bright, that he's generating.
Oh, yeah.
That it's intense. That's why nobody can tell who his face is.
Okay, I like
that's
that.
Why he, and they, so they address it. They addressed, you know, like you're saying, they addressed the whole... And,
I don't know.
And
he still
right
got that he still got that peanut head, though. So.
Why?
There's a peanut glove.
Wait.
They got peanut glove with peanut head.
Why they got homegirl trying to hit him with a microwave?
Oh, that shit!
There's a lot of money on your head.
That character, dude, the dreads?
Yo.
That dude is...
You know who he reminds me of? The dude from... the guy from... Daredevil.
Oh, Turk.
I'm going back downtown. Y'all off down, motherfuckers. This is crazy.
You know what?
I'm going back to hell.
If DC and Marvel are doing anything right together,
you got the dude with
the side black character who just talks shit.
Mad stereotypical street dude.
Right, who handles his business,
though.
He handles his business, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he ain't too straight.
They got him down bad.
Yeah. But he's funny. He ain't a menace. He's like, wow, Turk. Round dread dude. Yo, can I take a selfie with you?
That was my favorite.
His name is Two Bits.
His Two Bits.
Two Bits.
I love that.
Two Bits.
He was like, yo, that's probably one of my favorites.
That's so trap.
But he's not even a young head.
His
name ain't just Black Lightning.
He was like, can I take a selfie with you? And he's like, what? And
Two Bits. Ain't got Two Bits to his name, but he knows what's going on.
Jesus. But I think they're doing a great job with the show.
I think so, too.
It's
like they learned maybe from Arrow,
mm-hmm.
first season, and Flash first season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And started seeing that they can, you know, get a stronger, because, you know, like, I know it's probably been said over 100 times online, and everybody's like, you know what, DC, you really should just really concentrate on your television property.
Mike Williams just said, have a Turk Two Bits crossover.
Yes! That shit would be hilarious.
That's it, man.
That shit would be
I'm getting out of Freeman.
That's gotta be some Thelma Louise.
That's
Rose
so sure
shit right there, son. That's what that's gotta be. Oh my god.
He's gonna get beamed to Krypton. It is cold here.
It is cold here. Hey, man, you need a hard wipe?
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Thank you, Dad, M-Dub.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you, M-Dub. That's hysterical.
Yes, oh, my God.
Oh.
That was...
You know what? And put it on Preacher.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
And show it on a Preacher.
Okay.
Crossing streams, here, y'all.
Oh.
We're crossing streams.
Oh,
it'll
my
work.
God.
Universes get crossed.
It would work.
Oh,
Preacher?
Yeah.
That'd be genius.
And it works on Preacher.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, it'll work on Preacher and Ash.
Versus the Evil Dead, yeah.
It'll work on both of them. I've been watching that, by the way. I don't know how I feel. It hasn't changed. Like, there's nothing really changing. It's the same. You know, it's the same Ash, Evil Dead shit.
You're getting exactly what you thought you'd get.
Right. And you know, I can't fault him for that. I mean, but back to DC.
Just for a moment. I stopped watching Ash versus Evil Dead because there's a part of me that feels like I outgrew it.
I can see that.
Yes.
There's a part of me that...
I think that's what I'm feeling.
If I had been given this after Army of Darkness, I would still be like... But it's like sort of like the 19-year-old me is... I've left him behind. So it's like when I watch it, I'm like... I kind of thought you'd evolve from this at this point. I mean, and you're still like a man child.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it.
Right. It's becoming almost annoying, really.
But
parody of itself.
Yeah. But the thing was, that's what bothered me about Army of Darkness. Mm-hmm. Because Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, even though Evil Dead 2 was a little more dark comedy, I took him a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
When the third one came out and it was just all one-liners and all this other stuff, I was sort of like, that doesn't seem like... Like, I could understand that because he probably, in his mind is cracked from being involved with all of this. But there's still a part of me like, I kind of took this a little more seriously than this.
Yeah,
and
sure.
He has the capacity for it, because then you think of, like, the Xena and Hercules series.
Yeah.
He clearly has the capacity for, like, a longer...
Or the Bubba Hotep.
Yeah, I never watched Bubba
Hotep.
But I've heard okay things about it. But there is a deeper side to him. And the fact that, like, Ash vs. Evil Dead, like, okay, do demons and everything, but let's take the story somewhere else.
And it felt like they almost...
But he's getting a check.
He's getting
that's true.
You know what?
But that's
his
true.
Whole, like,
he's just paying the bills.
What would we do in that position?
You didn't see
it's
season
not hard.
Two.
Yeah, it's just paying the bills.
Season 2 and Season 3 introduced some extra things that you thought maybe would help in that change.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced Lee Majors as his father in Season 2.
That was interesting.
He comes back in Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a daughter now. It sounds like he has a daughter. If any spoilers, if anybody hasn't seen
I'd love to know.
That. But, you know, so you like you were saying, you're thinking that there's a point where it's kind of like, you know, you need to grow up. Because, you know, you find out you have this kid and you can throw the one liar in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then you realize, you know, once you start seeing, you know, you have a daughter and then all this gore and blood. I mean, your head was literally stuck up some dead person's ass for Season 2 for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, your brain's cracked, but, you know, I have a daughter now. I got to find a way to do something because this is really too gory.
And I still want to know who. I'd love to hear the pitch session with Lee Majors. Like, literally, like what did you say to Lee Majors that was like... And had that, you know what?
I know what they said. They said, here's your contract.
Here's your contract.
Here's your advance.
How about this? I got one for you. You know, everybody in the world does not remember you as $6 million man.
Shit.
They remember you as in that bad movie called The Norseman.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Do you want to do something about that?
You just go kick him in the nuts.
I did.
That was scary.
He deserved that, man. The Norseman was horrible.
I was mad
as a nation of niggas. Excuse my language.
Oh my
but
God.
I was madder than... I'm just saying.
My thing is like... It's like with Greg...
It was like Westeros.
No, I get it.
A nation of
just
mad niggas.
It was
Westeros.
Like, it
was
rage.
It's like Gregory Peck. When Gregory Peck did The Omen. And he was like, they pitched it to him as a thriller. And then he gets to the theater and he's like, this
what
is
the
not
hell
is this is a horror film.
A horror film.
I was a lawyer.
I'm Atticus Finch.
I was Atticus Finch.
Not anymore, you're not.
Nope.
I'm not
this
supposed
is what
to be stabbing
for.
A little boy. What is this? I don't understand.
At some point,
what,
you know.
This is preposterous.
he picked up
a little boy in a church.
You know what happened. He picked up the dagger and asked the director, he's like, now, how does this work? And he's like, take him, Mr. Finch. And walked away. And okay.
I have a feeling he got a phone call from Kirk Douglas. I was in a movie called The Fury. And it was awesome. And Saturn. with Farrah Fawcett.
Actually, I like the Fury.
No.
No, no, I know. I like Fury and Saturn, I'm saying. And Saturn.
Saturn 3.
Yes. With Farrah Fawcett.
I like.
Yeah. Only problem I had with the Fury was the one, and this is the problem that I've complained about for decades. One black dude in the movie. Some mush mouth motherfucker.
At Garrett Morris?
No, I wish. I wish, because at least that would have been funny.
True, no, true.
It's like this one mush mouth dude in the fucking hotel. I don't know where this motherfucker is. And he probably might be up there somewhere. It's like, really? Really?
You're right.
That's why I don't feel bad for white guys in the snow.
I hear you. Hey, bro. You know what? You know what? And for punishment? Tyler Perry should do a remake of The Fury.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't think he'd know what to do with that.
No, don't do that.
She's like, no.
You know, just as a side note.
Wait, no.
As a side note.
My D is Fury. I don't know if that, I don't know if the world's ready for that.
As a side note.
I'm not ready for that.
I'm going to look at, I'm going to watch one more. There's a recent Tyler Perry movie out. I can't remember the name.
Acrimony?
Yeah, but Taraji P. Henson's in it. And I'm curious to see if there's growth there. Because he's been doing it for a long time. He knows his audience. He's making his money.
I like her so much.
So I'm curious. That's all I got to say to that.
Well, you better hurry up. Because it's not making any money right now.
Let me see if I got...
Exactly.
Let me see if I want... Let me see if I got this straight. You want to watch a movie starring Taraji P. Henson acting as a crazy black woman to see if there's any growth there.
Eight Mile.
Don't start with me with 8 Mile.
I'm just saying.
Keep it on the wax, fellas. Keep it on the wax.
Here we go.
I have 8 Mile.
Every time a motherfucker they bring 8 Mile.
8 Mile
was 125 years old when it came out. Fuck you. And fuck you. Who's next?
How many times have you watched that movie?
Oh, here we go. Every time a motherfucker gets stuck, you want to pull 8 Mile out of his ass. 8 Mile came out 143 years ago.
I deserve that.
Oh shit.
Well played, Captain. Well played.
Indeed. That was a wonderful segue.
Oh my god.
Oh shit.
Oh, you motherfucker.
We have.
All right.
We have cross geeked them, haven't we?
We got more shit, don't we? There's more shit coming out, man. Sure. Deadpool 2?
Yeah, Deadpool 2. Yeah,
yes, I'm looking forward to
that.
And
with Josh, I don't have enough money yet, Brolin.
Brolin, right.
He's
shit.
In every friggin' franchise.
And here's the thing is, the funny thing is, as I said before, I don't like Deadpool.
Right.
I went to see the first film. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the fact that I like the character or not, I really enjoyed it.
Right.
Still don't like Deadpool, but I will go see the second film. Cause it's just a lot of fun.
Yes,
it really. I'm really looking forward to Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yes, another fun movie.
You know what?
I'm worried.
I'm worried. You know, because you have Black Panther's still out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Infinity War comes out.
Uh-huh.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you know Ant-Man. I'm like, oh god. Okay, I'm ready for it. Am I ready for it? Unless there's a tie-in.
I feel like it's going to end up happening before Infinity War. Because I feel like that is a weird thing to start off with.
Good point.
Right after Infinity War.
Yeah.
I feel like you got to start off with Ant-Man, you know?
Right after
Infinity War. So I feel like
the
it's going to be like
right,
a
they probably can't see it, but...
He's got his ticket for Infinity War.
April 30th.
Yes.
So we got Charlie Rose Sci-Fi.
It's out before that, but
yeah.
I'm just going on a Monday.
April 30th, Charlie Rose Sci-Fi and my man going to Infinity War.
Going to Infinity Wars.
Yeah, you got Charlie
Rose. I need to get mine.
I'm looking forward to do we have a DC movie coming out? No, I'm just curious. I'm like,
hold on. We do.
What's coming out?
Black Lightning on a big screen at Cabana Outpost. You're gonna start showing Cabana Outpost.
Black Lightning back.
I'd be with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
I'd be front and center.
So wait,
margaritas.
So here's a joke. So this weekend at Taryn's wedding.
Yes.
Yeah. I was laughed at multiple times. Until I explained why I was doing what I was doing.
Okay.
So the laughter started over the fact that I'm still getting Netflix on DVD. Okay. I'm still renting the DVD Netflix. But
that's man, right. That flag, man.
That's right. But, you are.
But on DVD, not yet released for streaming, I'm getting the entire season of Mantis.
Oh.
So I want to try to have a Mantis viewing party at some point.
Right.
Because what, PlayStation yes, hopefully. That would not, nice. But actually, because a lot of people.
Can we invite Carl Lumley?
Yes, if you can find
him,
you find Carl Lumley. Tell him come on down.
Twitter is a motherfucker.
Twitter, because he'll show up. Hi, I'm like,
he showed up. That
don't sleep. Somebody did that for one of the. They did that for one of the Doctor Who episodes.
Yeah.
I think it was Stephen Moffat's wife had posted that they were upset that they were in New York and weren't going to be able to see it.
Mm.
And someone posted to her thing that they should come to the way station.
Oh.
Moffat, his wife, and Matt Smith showed up.
They showed up?
They showed up.
Stop.
Yeah. Nice. Meanwhile, I'm in the city working on a rehearsal for a show. And they slipped in. And sat in on the viewing and then did autographs and stuff for everybody.
Wow.
For it was a Doctor Who episode. I think it was an anniversary episode or something like that. Awesome. Oh. So, but they were all in New York and they had nowhere to go to see it. So they came to the way station. So, hey, you never know. You say, you know, hopefully if you put that out there, Carl Lumley's lawyers don't come to shut me down. Excuse me. Are you Mark Abbott? Yeah. You've been served.
Carl Lumley's lawyers aren't showing up.
Carl Lumley just showed up with his family like, I'm so happy you took me out the house.
Thank you.
Now,
but,
you know, some comic book company may come after us, but...
Yeah, nah, man. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Invite Sam Raimi. He's the one who put it together, didn't he?
That's a good. That's a great idea, actually.
Yep.
Send the Mantis.
But right,
we'll get to tweet.
Wait, isn't Aquaman supposed to come out in November of this year?
Is it? I thought it was next year. I could be wrong about that.
They just did the screening.
Okay.
The audience.
Interesting.
So, I mean,
like a focus group.
Yeah, yeah. I think they have a name for it.
It's a focus group.
Okay. They did focus group screening.
I was just curious. I just threw that out there because I know Marvel is just hitting hard this year.
Screening for the execs, and the execs are saying was great and stuff like that. So it's kind
of
like
Speaking of DC, not that anything's been shot yet, but and I had to discuss this on a different podcast. Ava DuVernay.
Oh,
New Gods.
The New Gods.
Now, how do we feel about that?
All right. Jesus Christ.
Like, and that's wait, big bar.
Where do you want to go? Because it's going to be
dark side.
It's going to take a minute.
I'm not as familiar with it as with other franchises, so I'm going to sit back
on
this one.
Sure, it's kind of a little on the esoteric side. I had to deep dive before I actually participated in the podcast.
I want to research more into it because I really don't. I know only the Bears.
The New Gods, the whole thing, and you know, please forgive me, guys, but I'm going to say. The New Gods is it's the year of enlightenment in Europe.
Really?
Hold on.
Okay.
Let me finish.
I'm starting off.
So, year of enlightenment. And some dude came out and said there's five different races, and the white race is the most superior. And then you have the New Gods. The New Gods is Mad Lily. And for having Ava do it.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
The fact that she's doing it already
right.
has me.
Because the only black person in the New Gods is the black racer. It's a black dude in armor and skis, which is why I'm very angry at DC for actually having him out. And he's a new god.
They're putting a dude out in skis?
Dude, he's called the Black Ray. He's one of the New Gods on DC.
Didn't we have a conversation about
this? Yes, we did.
Because you told me there was a black.
So for Ava to do it, I'm curious.
I'm not one to always
really agree with the idea of switching characters and changing the race of characters.
Right.
I don't mind the gender so much, but sometimes the race of characters gets kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of it. But for Ava to jump onto this, she is going to do it. I mean, Wrinkle in Time, Selma. You know what I mean? It's Ava.
Almost got Black Panther.
Almost got Black Panther.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? So you're going to see, like, Orion might be, you know, I don't want to say John Legend, but you know what I mean? Like some real pretty nigga. Yeah. Orion gonna be black. Orion gonna be black, guys. People are gonna be upset. I don't know how I'm gonna feel about it until after I see the movie.
I don't know if Orion's gonna be black. But here are my thoughts.
Well, if All Father got, somebody gotta be black because it's Ava.
No. I agree.
Well, Domino's black. Shit, Domino's black. It's not even Ava. It's not even Ava.
First and foremost.
Yes.
Let's keep in mind.
Yes.
DC, as far as movies go, woefully behind Marvel progress.
Yeah.
So, and they've been desperate. Yeah. Desperate to the point where they...
Thus far, they only have one.
They are tripping over their own feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, my prediction overall is that... Because on this podcast, other podcast I was on, you know, and preparing for it, whatever, I got a little sense of the backstory. And the backstory is that Jack Kirby came up with all that shit after he had a falling out with Marvel.
Right, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's a lot of folks out there that, and I'm not subscribing, I'm not saying whatever.
You ain't taking sides.
I'm not taking sides on this, but there's a lot of folks out there that say when it came to the creation of various Marvel characters, Jack actually did the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Galactus.
The
universe itself.
So,
yeah. I totally see that.
DC, when they started seeing Marvel making progress... They threw a bunch of money at Kirby at a time when he wasn't necessarily happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So he jumped ship.
Yeah.
So New Gods is all his thing.
Mm. Thank you, honey.
Now, it's written very, you know, when you look into it, it's written in a, it's written stiff.
Oh, okay.
It's written very Silver Age, if that makes any sense.
Totally.
So, like, if you would have just acted out panel for panel, it's a lot of motherfuckers talking about, what do you mean I'm supposed to do? It would be that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like Thor.
Like a lot of this. Exactly.
Like Thor.
So, my thought is, first of all, if you're gonna do this whole thing with Big Barda and Orion and all these other cats that I kinda knew thanks to various DC animated movies...
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying. So my thing is, you almost have to construct and build a sort of Guardians of the Galaxy type thing. Because my thing is, because the question came up, well, how do you introduce all these new characters and how do you do all this all at once?
Totally.
Guardians of the Galaxy gave you the blueprint.
Perfect.
They did, yeah.
I think. That's how you, you know, witty banter, motherfuckers just kind of like, you know, making grand entrances, and it is what it is.
The different environment you're going to, the different places.
That's all you need.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the blueprint.
Mm.
Because if you go and just try to tie it in with Superman and his thing with Darkseid or whatever, it becomes another superhero movie that people may or may not give a fuck about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's my thought. Now, is that going to be what she's going to do? I don't know.
We don't know. We don't know.
I don't know.
You're right. You need that that one character that's supposed to be the audience that helps you, that brings the audience to you on that journey. Because you have Star-Lord doing that.
And in the history, here's the funny thing. In the history of New Gods, that person's actually Jimmy Olsen.
Mm.
Right? Really?
Yes.
But Jimmy's dead.
And I'm not entirely
how
you construct that, but back in the 70s when you could just do whatever the fuck.
Yeah, whatever.
You
know,
that's
kind of cool.
It's kind of cool.
It's
kind of
cool, but Jimmy's dead.
Wait, how did Jimmy die?
Oh, Batman v Superman.
Oh, okay.
They confirmed that Jimmy Olsen was a CIA agent.
I'm in fucking Supergirl mode.
Oh.
Jimmy Olsen is James Olsen.
James Olsen, right.
He's around, he's a black dude, and he's cool.
And he's
and now he's a superhero.
And he's a superhero, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's a superhero now, so sorry.
Unless he's an audience. So they're interesting. And are they... Hmm.
But I'm not... Trust me.
I
think that almost gives you too much to fucking explain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't even go into that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go into that. Just introduce these characters, make them engaging, charismatic, and there you go.
Exactly. I think the smart move is the Guardians of the Galaxy, the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Completely.
Because if you don't,
you know they're probably going to make a connection somewhere to Man of Steel, maybe.
They will. Because they're fucking lazy. Mm-hmm.
If they do, they need to do it on some after the credits vignette shit. What do you think?
I don't really have a thought in the whole thing, to be perfectly honest with you.
No, ow.
I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking.
8 Mile.
I was going to say Introduce Thunder. That is!
No, I can't even hit on you because when that shit happened, I cracked up.
You do that?
I was like, of course. Because you have to make this shit real. That ass. You have to make it real.
Thunder.
I didn't like the fact that her sister was the one who told her that shit.
Yeah.
That was great. That whole conversation was beautiful. I like the interaction of the two sisters. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that there's actually a family aspect to finally a superhero.
And the cast is awesome. It's cool.
She was like,
legit. Like, the mom actually concerned about the fact that, like, hey, you know, I have to worry about my kids, but at the same time, I have to let them be who they want to be. Like, I feel like they're representing a family dynamic in a way that I haven't seen on another show in a very long time, if ever.
A different form of a family dynamic.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you see Flash, and that kind of has a family dynamic, because, you know, Iris is kind of his sister slash wife, and he has his same dad. That's weird.
That was so Woody Allen.
I'm sorry.
Oh!
I love that. That's not
Woody Allen. They're the same age.
Team Woody Allen.
They're the same age.
I love the Flash. You know that that's his family.
I just love how rolled off her tongue. She's like, you're his sister wife. And it's like, wait.
She's been thinking about that. She's been thinking about that for a minute.
I'm sorry.
No, but let me know. I'm not knocking you for that.
And I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, but I'm just like, we have a family aspect in Flash. That's the first show that's like, you know, you have a father, you have the stepmom coming into the picture, the new baby that's showing up. So you have a family aspect there. But this one is actually a family dynamic where it's like, you actually see the siblings interacting together, and it's like,
like a nuclear family.
Yes, it's like a nuclear father, family. But they're black siblings. And they're superheroes. And I'm like, thank you. It's not like any other show I've ever watched
before. Yeah,
and I really appreciate that aspect.
And the wife is, you know, she's the mother's wife.
And I like the fact that the mother has no powers and she's the only one holding that shit together.
And she hates it.
She hates it.
And she's conflicted.
And she's surrounded by these people that she's like, I just have to, I have to find the humanity and everything and just, I have to be the heart of this.
I just love the
I love her. Yeah. I love
the
mom.
There was that episode the other night where Thunder saved him. From the explosion of the gun.
Yeah. Right.
And he's having that, and the look on her face, like you don't find anything wrong that you almost, the both of you almost died.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, she pushed me out the way. She saved me.
Right.
And then he's like,
orange juice.
And he's like, what's wrong with you? And she's like,
you don't see the big picture here. For him, it was like, my daughter saved me. Like, holy shit, like, she's learning. Like, he's teaching. He's teaching.
Like, the episode when the daughter beat up the two girls in the skate rink, and he's like, what did we tell you about fight? And he's like, yeah, because you know, he took out two of them, and he was like,
two of them.
And he's got that grin on his face, and she's like, seriously? And he's like,
and that's what they're doing. They're answering questions that I think a lot of people just had in terms of, well, what a family dynamic look like.
Exactly, because that is exactly the conversation my father had with me.
Yes.
Because if you get into a fight, kick their ass.
I will say this. The only other time I've seen a family dynamic like that, I've only seen it two other times. I can't really too much embrace the Incredibles in that sense because they already knew that they had powers.
Right.
But do you remember No Ordinary Family from ABC? Michael Chiklis. Was this superhero. He had like super strength and speed. They went on this trip to the Amazon.
I want
to
say that was
and they
one
crash.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And they crash. The mother ended up with like this super speed. Mm-hmm. The husband ended up, Michael Chiklis was the husband, and he ended up with like super strength. Mm-hmm. The son could figure out any math problem on the planet. And I forgot what the daughter's power was. But they, but
she can pinpoint the baddest booty in the neighborhood. Whoa! I gotta go, guys.
You know what? And see, here's the thing.
Get it, don't stop.
Like here's the thing.
That's who Trap took, Family Superhero right there. Took, that's a trap right
who
there.
Who took the video of Thunder that he checked that out? Like, it was like somebody took a video of her, I guess that
college.
Was when she blew up the statue at the college. Yep. And
college is a motherfucker.
Hand down.
Yeah. It's literally that one kid in the dorm like this. My roommate's just having sex with his girlfriend right there. He's got to look out the window to be, you know, try to be a gentleman, look out right. the window. Yo, son, check out that ass! His boy got to leave the girl he's having sex with just to come out the window to check out Thunder's booty. And as nasty as that sounds, that's college.
That's not college.
Hey, that's the DC universe, that's man. That's DC
universe. Those are the two Draculas. The sexy Dracula's actually having sex in the bed.
Right.
And Penny Dreadful Dracula's out the window. He turned his face.
Watching
every day. Right, but he had to turn his back because he wanted, you know, wanted right. privacy. But he ain't leaving. He ain't leaving. But he ain't gonna look. He's not stupid, right?
Oh,
he's
my right, gosh. Stupid.
Oh, he's looking out the window.
Oh.
Just looking out the window.
Hey. Getting off the DC kicks, oh man.
Okay. And we're back.
Have you watched Atlanta?
Yes.
The new season?
Yes.
I haven't watched season 2 yet. Season 1 I've seen.
The Alligator Man?
Yo. Cat Williams.
Oh, no. I haven't seen that.
Cat Williams
plays an uncle.
Yes.
On the show. God. And they call him
the Alligator Man.
And the thing is that when they go over to the house,
he got a real
wait, hold on.
Is it just Cat Williams playing Cat Williams?
That, like,
it feels like it.
But if you got that kind of uncle in your family,
yeah, you know.
He's playing that uncle.
Okay.
That uncle. And,
but it,
and
but it feels like he's not
here's
acting.
The thing, the funny thing yeah. is like the cops show up at the house knocking on the door, and he's like, who the fuck knocking on my door? Like, they the cops. And he opens the door, and you're like, oh, shit, it's the cops. But they call him, like, he's got a Cayman.
Mm-hmm.
In the house.
Like the crocodile looking shit, right?
Like a real alligator. The thing is, like, the cops are like, they're like, he's like, he tells the cops, he's like, yo, don't get away from my door. I'm gonna stick my alligator on you. He's like, you ain't got no alligator in there. And behind him, these two kids are like, yes, he does.
Yes,
he's called the Alligator Man. He got an alligator in there. And he goes, yeah, I got an alligator in here.
That's,
and the
yeah.
thing is, when the cops, after the commercial break, the cops are like 15 feet away.
They are. They're with their guns.
And
big dudes, too.
And the cop, one of the cops like, you know what, fuck this, I'm going in the house. And the door opens and the gator comes out. No, but what song were they playing? They were playing a, what's his
was
name?
Was it Outkast?
No, it wasn't Outkast. It was, oh my God, Let's Stay Together.
Oh.
Al Green song.
Yeah. When the gator comes out.
Yes.
And he walks out.
To the beat.
He comes out to the beat.
And you know, and Al Green is running out the back.
And sits down in the bushes.
Yes.
Like, meanwhile, Cat Williams is running up the middle of the
street. Yes, he does.
Out the back door.
Out the back
like,
door.
Like, sprinting. Not like jump.
No, like sprinting.
I sat in the house
dying
the whole season. The one where he goes to pick up the drugs.
Yeah.
And he's
wait,
sitting
is the whole
in the,
season out yet?
No, it's like
they're on season 4 now.
Episode 4, okay.
But there's okay. but it's called the Robin season. Because everybody's getting robbed on the show.
Oh, right.
And there's a scene where what's his name? Where Paperboy
mm-hmm.
goes to get some weed from his
cool.
from his local weed guy. And he's in the car. And the weed guy is like, so he's like, yeah, so what is it that you need? And he goes, yeah, I want some of that, you know, some of that shit that you had last week that was real nice, this, that, the other thing. And he goes, all right, I think I can get that for you. And he goes, yeah, I like that shit. And the weed dude goes, hey, I'm sorry about this. And he's like, why do you go?
Yeah.
I'm gonna need you to put your money. I need you to give me all your money. Yes. He's like, he goes, yo, I wouldn't be doing this to you. He gives him the money and he goes, I'm gonna need your car keys too.
Oh.
He goes, seriously? He goes, I don't need you like rolling up to your house and getting a gun.
And coming
like, you
me.
Might have a gun in your car and you might come after me.
Yeah, right.
Also, you might try to follow me. And he goes, again, man, I'm real sorry, bro. if I didn't have to do this, I wouldn't. So he gives him the keys and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna have to ask you to get out the car now. So he's trying to get out the car and he's like, he goes, you got the child locks on the door. And he goes, let me get it. He goes, motherfucker, I know how to open the door. And he gets out. And he's walking down the street. And he's like, hey, man, I'm real sorry about this. I'd give you a ride. But, you know, if I took you home, you might go in the house and get a gun and shoot. So, I'm real sorry about that. Shit.
Oh,
and I was like, I'm in the apartment, like, you gotta be kidding me.
Dude, every time, we was watching, it was like, fuck it, Atlanta.
Wait, which one of the two got robbed?
It's Paperboy.
Paperboy got robbed.
And the thing is,
Paperboy got robbed.
He just got off of house arrest.
Yes.
So that was the thing.
All right, that's and all I'm like, I'm gonna catch up. I'm gonna do it tonight,
dude. I'm telling you, the season has started off like the first episode. The opening of the first episode is like crazy. Yeah. I was just like, there's something I don't even know where to go with this show.
I thought it changed. Yeah, I thought like they changed. I thought they were changing their whole show.
But even last season,
yeah.
I'm sorry. The highlight of the season was the episode when he was in jail.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yep. And the dudes, they were talking to each other. He was like, I can leave. No one told you to get up.
Who told you to get up? All right, man, I'm going to stay. And he's like, yo, that's a dude. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, that's a dude. He goes, no, it's not. Dude, he's sitting with us. He's a dude. He's, you gay. And he goes, I ain't gay. He goes, you gay, man. You with a dude. And he goes, So we in jail? That's jail, motherfucker. You ain't got no choice.
No. And Ernest is still between them like this.
Ernest ain't.
You know, gender binary constructs. You know, we call it gender binary constructs. That's just a social thing. Yeah, like, shut the fuck up. That was brilliant.
I was like, yo.
He said,
it was fucked up because that's what exactly what I was thinking. He said it. I was like, oh, thank you.
So, you know, and he said it like this. He's like, you know, gender binary conflicts.
That and the shit in the club. Oh. When he tried to get his money and the dude was by the wall and he's like, oh, come on, man.
What the fuck?
And then the dude is driving the invisible car.
That was
and the thing that killed me is that people, you see bodies, and this dude floating in the air, driving like, oh, I'm like, oh.
So yeah, that show was really good.
If you never watched that,
that's surreal comedy. That's real good surreal comedy.
Oh my god! Jail, motherfucker.
That's jail, motherfucker.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You
know, right. Idea of binary, gender binary contrast. Actually, there's a fluidity to that.
Shut the fuck up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. We're out of wine. Anybody want to promote anything real quick?
Well,
I got a job.
Hey!
Woo!
Oh,
there you go.
Shit.
Yeah.
The Seaport thing, right?
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, it's sports. You know, gender binary construct is actually a fluid. That's a fluid concept.
Hey, man, you got a job.
I got a job.
You got a job. You got married.
I got married.
I'm going to Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Woo!
All right. Wow. Going on.
And you're still married.
I am still married.
You're still married.
Woo! I'm still married.
Black man still married.
And
Amen.
Amen.
And my open mic show, man, you gotta hear this, is on hiatus this month.
Oh.
But we'll be back in May. It'll be my 2-year anniversary.
Okay, 2-year anniversary.
So, 2-year anniversary at Precious Metal. So
Precious Metal.
I'm putting Sunday. Anyway. Yeah, well, so I'll be making an announcement in a couple of weeks when the new show is and whatnot. So people
come on out, share your tales.
You're here.
It's a storytelling. Share your tales.
Oh.
Not
your
thunder.
Stories.
Your stories.
Stories. Not a thunder tale.
Not that ass.
Hold on. Sailing.
Take me away where I'm going.
I can't.
College.
I can't.
College. Yeah, that's good. All right. We're going to close it out.
Good night.
We love y'all. Big thanks to... Hang up. You know what? Let me do this real quick.
Twitter, anything,
any kind of
books coming out, artwork.
Listen, I got married. That was my whole year.
Okay? Hello, you're right.
Big thanks to Laura, Robin.
Hey, yes. Laura. Hey.
Joseph, Grace, Paula, Michael Evans.
Michael and Evans.
Oh, two different dudes. Joe Siglio, who hit us up with some comments. Carol Ann, who hit us with a trailer from The Crossing that we'll have to look at.
Okay.
Christine, Daphne, Dagna, Kevin, Michael again. Havoc.
Hey, Havoc.
D-Lynn Blaylock, Indy's House Party. Oh, I know who that is.
Yeah.
yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Y'all are some bad motherfuckers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are we coming back? Are we doing another
one?
Nah, man. You good. We're going for like 2 hours. All right.
Oh, world.
We are bouncing out of here. Thank you so much for joining us. And good night. And I don't know why. Let me just do that real quick.